Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The size of this year's permanent fund dividend looms over every other issue facing the state government. Governor Mike Dunleavy made PFDs the only subject of the special legislative session beginning July 8th in Wasilla. Some legislators are hopeful that a new 8-person working group will lay the groundwork for resolving the issue, at least for this year. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports on what the group aims to accomplish.
Legislators have been arguing over how much Alaskans should receive in their annual dividend since the price of oil dropped more than 4 years ago. Group co-chair Representative Jennifer Johnston says when it comes to PFDs, many lawmakers have entrenched positions. But the Anchorage Republican is hopeful the working group can offer a fresh perspective.
It's been an emotional debate. And sometimes emotional debates are good, but sometimes they end up with parties maybe yelling at each other and nobody listening. So if we can have set an environment where we are not all just talking to each other, but we are actively listening, I think that we have a chance of coming up with some policies.
The government hasn't followed the dividend formula set in a 1982 state law the last 3 years. Former Governor Bill Walker and lawmakers have said they wanted to maintain state services and keep money in the permanent fund's earnings reserve. Working group members say they want the committee's work to help end the annual fights over dividends. Fairbanks Democratic Representative Adam Wohl says it's time to bring the dividend formula in line with a PFD amount that will have political support and pay for government.
We've broken that law several times over the last few years, and I think myself, and I can't speak for anyone else, but I think it's time we resolve that impasse and not only come up with a number or a formula that's we can afford, but one that we can follow.
A challenge for the state is a separate law enacted last year that limits the total amount drawn from permanent fund earnings to roughly 5% of the fund's overall value. That law pressured the legislature to cut dividends by more than $1,000 last year. Dunleavy then won after running on a platform of restoring full PFDs. Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes is a working group member who also has supported full dividends, which would be roughly $3,000 this year. She says any change the legislature makes must be supported by the public.
I believe that a sleeping giant has been awakened, actually, primarily because we've had such difficulty solving this. And I just want the people of Alaska to know I don't take this task lightly. And I also believe it is of vital importance that the people of Alaska listen to what will be presented at this table and to the conversation, and that they come along on this journey with us and work with us.
Other working group members have emphasized the future growth of the permanent fund. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman is among them.
My personal concern is that we look to the future of Alaska like the participants at this table did 40 years ago when they set up the permanent fund, and we preserve the integrity and the viability of the future funds for Alaskans that aren't even born yet.
Stedman says he doesn't want the working group to reach a conclusion and then fudge the analysis to make it fit the result. He's concerned that the 5% permanent fund draw passed last year will prevent the fund from growing in the future.
It's too high. And that's a policy call. If the current generation wants to take all of the future growth to itself, that's a call. We can do that. Some of us would like to leave more for our descendants.
The group aims to make recommendations on how permanent fund earnings should be used, including what should happen with dividends, by July 2nd. The working group will meet again on Wednesday. They plan to discuss the history of both the permanent fund and dividends. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Alaska has made some improvements, but still ranks near the bottom of all states in the nation for children's well-being. That's according to data in the annual report on how kids and teens are doing, released by the Annie E. Casey Foundation based in Baltimore. The good news is that Alaska has the lowest rate of babies born dangerously underweight. That's attributed to the state working with tribal health organizations to provide regional care. The bad news is Alaska has the highest percentage of teens who abuse alcohol and the highest rate of child and teen deaths, with 52 per 100,000 kids aged 1 to 19 dying. The report does not say what caused the deaths, but state data indicates most were suicides or injuries, including snow machine and ATV crashes. Overall, in the four major categories measured in the Kids Count survey, Alaska ranked 50th in health, 49th in education, 33rd in economic well-being, and 21st in family and community. Maria Gonzalez was the wife of Julio Antonio Tony Rosales, a jeweler at the Jewel Box jewelry store in downtown Juneau. He was shot and killed 3 years ago in Excursion Inlet. At a sentencing hearing in Juneau Superior Court on Monday, Gonzalez still wanted to know why her husband died at the hands of another employee, Mark Anthony DeSimone.
Because since this happened, he took away my dreams. He took away my family that I worked so hard to have it. My friends, my job. I can't even find a good job because I have to move. And it wasn't fair what he did to my husband. He didn't give him no chance.
DeSimone served in the Arizona House of Representatives until he was forced to resign in 2008 for assaulting his wife. He came to Juneau seeking work. In May 2016, Rosales and DeSimone went out with others to two cabins in Excursion Inlet owned by the Jewel Box's owner, William Young. 34-year-old Rosales died after DeSimone fired two shots at the back of his head at nearly point-blank range. During a trial last year, DeSimone's defense argued that the two shots fired back-to-back from the single-action revolver was somehow an accident, but the jury convicted DeSimone of first-degree murder. During the hearing, DeSimone broke a three-year-long silence and read a short letter apologizing for what happened.
Something being an accident does not preclude fault nor mitigate one's onus of responsibility. And the fault and the responsibility are mine and mine alone.
Juneau Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg sentenced DeSimone to 65 years in prison. With credit for good behavior, DeSimone could apply for parole in 30 years when he's 86 years old. He will also serve 10 years on probation if he gets out. After the hearing, Gonzalez said she was okay with the sentence.
And I feel bad for him too, you know? I really do. I'm kind of sad because of my part of my family and his family. So God is with him and with my husband now. So I think it's time to move on.
Gonzalez, who has a young daughter with Rosales, asked for the return of her husband's wedding ring and watch and family photos stored on his phone. Those items were kept as potential evidence in the case, but they're no longer needed and will be returned to her. An Indiana man is now charged with murder in the death of Anchorage resident Cynthia Hoffman. Prosecutors say he allegedly tricked a group of teenagers into murdering Hoffman by promising them millions of dollars in exchange for images of the killing. That's according to a bail memorandum filed Friday that says 21-year-old Darren Schillmiller posed as a millionaire named Tyler online using another person's photo in a catfishing scheme. He offered 18-year-old Denali Bremer $9 million or more to, quote, rape and murder someone in Alaska, end quote. Bremer is charged with first-degree murder in Hoffman's death along with 16-year-old Caden McIntosh, whom police say pulled the trigger, and Caleb Leland, who allegedly provided a car. A recent indictment adds Schillmiller and two unnamed juvenile defendants. Leland is charged separately with sexually abusing a minor. Schillmiller also faces related child pornography charges in federal court. Prosecutors wrote in the charges that Schillmiller had directed Bremer to take sexually explicit photos of two minor victims and told her to record videos of child sexual abuse to send him. The state's largest telecommunications company announced it's building the first 5G wireless network in the state's largest city. GCI will partner with Swedish telecom company Ericsson to upgrade GCI's existing sites to deploy 5G service throughout Anchorage. GCI says the project will be complete in 2020, with 5G service coming online in the first half of the year. They estimate it will increase wireless capacity in the city by 10 times or more. GCI CEO Ron Duncan says that other communications companies like AT&T have begun implementing 5G technology in several lower 48 cities, but this would be the northernmost network in the country.
It'll be a long time, I believe, before any of the other carriers get real 5G to Alaska, but this is our market. They're starting in their biggest markets, we're starting in our biggest market, and we're going to build out from there.
Duncan says the existing infrastructure GCI has in Anchorage, in the form of macro cell sites, fiber networks, and radio spectrum, will allow mobile access to internet throughout the city. And finally, Amazon's fleet of jets is getting bigger. The online shopping giant said today that it will lease 15 more Boeing 737s as it seeks to grow its delivery business and get packages to shoppers' doorsteps faster. Amazon is in the midst of speeding up its delivery time to one day from 2 days for its Prime members. Seattle-based company wants more control over how its packages are delivered and rely less on UPS, the U.S. Postal Service, and other carriers. Looking at weather tonight, scattered rain showers, lows around 50. In downtown Juneau, numerous rain showers, lows in the mid-40s. Douglas, numerous rain showers. Mineral Valley, lows in the mid-40s. And that's the KTOA News Update for Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.